That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, we're back, yeah. Baby.
Oh, yeah. we both sound awful.
I didn't mean to do a chunky cough. Yeah. Well, you know, first off, let's do it. Welcome to Sidework Podcast, guys. Happy 2024. I'm your host, Andrea Wallace.
And I'm your host, Brooke Van Poplin. We did it. We're back. We're live.
We both got COVID over the holiday. We didn't even see each other. It was separate incidents. If you can't tell them both of our really sexy voices, I lost my voice pretty much completely. Brooke?
No, I didn't lose my voice, but I couldn't smell or taste for like 9 days. That's thank God back. That I didn't realize how much that was going to get me down. It really gets you down emotionally because I need, as anyone does, their olfactory senses to really enjoy. Mm. Like I feel like I was drinking coffee, couldn't taste it. And because I couldn't taste or smell it, my brain was like, there was no caffeine in that, even though, of course, it was caffeine.
Totally.
It's like I need the whole experience to feel awake. And I was having just weird mind games.
I mean, I got ill over like kind of like during my trip to Nebraska to see my family. I thought it was a cold because I thought I had an asymptomatic version over Thanksgiving, whatever. Turns out it was stupid fucking COVID. I lost, I didn't get any of my family members sick, thank God. Brian got sick, but whatever. We share everything.
We share everything.
I lost my taste and smell for a couple days. And like the morning of Christmas Eve, which I think I was like day 8 by then, I woke up that morning and I was like, okay, I can kind of smell stuff. And I'm pretty sure I was texting you that I was like, in my mom's pantry that morning, like huffing Worcestershire and peanut butter and whiskey just to like wake my olfactory brain up. And like, honestly, by the end of the day, I was like, I can taste my mom's Christmas cookies. But, you know, I basically was like lost my voice on the 20th and like just been screaming at my family for 5 days after that just to try and keep up and be heard. And then no rest for the wicked, went straight to an LCD Sound System concert on the 30th after we were testing negative, sang into a like, scream karaoke on New Year's Eve. I mean, so I've had some issues, but I'm back, baby.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I'm doing a gentle reentry. We're doing a slow
I'm struggling.
Reentry.
My chest is heavy. I got to get to saunas and hot yoga. I got a steam shower, all this gunk out of my chest because it was just like a cold. That was it for me. But there is some lingering shit.
Well, we hope you guys, there's a good chance a bunch of you have COVID and or the flu and or something because everybody got it. Like everybody got something.
It's still like the hottest goss. It still really is. You know what I mean? It's still.
It's because you have to do this whole new ritual thing now where it's like you got to go get the test and then you got to break the bad news. It's like it really is the pregnancy test of viral illnesses.
Totally. I mean, you know? I really did feel great in that, like, of course, I had exposed my entire family previous to me finding out I was positive. But like once they found out, they didn't send me to my room. You know what I mean? They were like, just mask up, bitch, and just pull it down when you want to sip your whiskey. Happy holidays. We'll figure it out, you know?
Sit in the corner, but you don't have to go fully away from us.
Pretty much. I was like, wah, wah, but I'm fine. Everything's fine. So anyways, here we are.
And sorry that we missed a week. We both were just not...
Yeah. Whatever. I mean, look, according to the astrological new year, shit hasn't even kicked off till today anyway. And today is a new moon that we're recording. So I think it's actually very good timing, you know.
So we're lining up on a new Capricorn moon. We both have those Capricorn nurse moms.
Well, and I'm a Cap. Yes.
Me
and
too.
Yes. And the Cap moons. Yes. Like you said. So here we are. I think today is perfect and is the beginning of a new year and is the day that we should be recording and coming back.
Fuck yeah. All right. Way to justify it. And I'm on board.
you know, that being said, we are going to take it a little bit easy for you guys today. I think people are still wrapping their brains trying to get, you know, back into the swing of things. So we're just going to have a fun little episode and dive into a bunch of headlines that we've obviously missed over the past few weeks, you know, which we love to talk about.
Well, here's the headline, too. Aside from all of us getting sick, then like all of us sliced our index fingers off on our left hands the other day. I got Sean. Oh, wait. Look what I'm holding up. Ladies and gentlemen, I got engaged.
Yeah.
Over the holidays. Wow. There's a lot happening.
Are you sure you didn't slice off the tip of your left hand finger just so you could show off that ring?
Exactly. I'm holding it up. I truly was just like, look at this fucking finger. And then I was like, oh, but look at this other finger with a rock
on it. I mean, it's hard to, you got to be careful around sharp objects when you know, when you're cutting, when that dazzling rock is like shimmering into your eye. No wonder you got cut, girl.
I got dazzled and then lost concentration and took off a finger. I'm glad, you know, anyways, it's all good. My finger is absolutely missing a diagonal portion of it, plus some of the nail. It's really fucking gross. I'm literally like, I might have to look into plastic surgery later in life. We'll see how she
won't
shapes
let you
back
Julie
up.
Grow back. We'll see. We ever talked about like my grandfather's fingers growing up? We ever talked about this?
I'll talk to you about my grandma's finger. Sure.
My grandfather like worked in fields and he would use, you know, he would use sharp objects, you know, to like in the fields, and he sliced the tippies of his fingers off at one point. And so he just had like claw, like nubby fingers with like claws growing out or like where the nails were on like three of his hands. It was like crazy. I mean, of course, like, I mean, to have a grandparent with those hands, you remember grandparents' hands anyway, right? I mean,
of course it's
like
a thing. You do. Yeah.
And so these ones were just like,
wow, I am picturing
like goblin hands like that, you know, were amazing. He was a beautiful man, but it was like, whoa, grandpa, your hand, you know,
that is such like. God, growing it, Nebraska, like, or
this
was
this Utah?
This is Utah. Utah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, my grandma cut one of her fingers off by trying to fix the lawnmower. Something jammed the blade, and she did like that classic "don't do that" sort of move because I don't think it was off; it was just stuck. So when she dislodged whatever it was, the tip of her finger, like the top of it, went flying off. But she had the wherewithal to go get it, put it on ice, and get driven to the hospital and have it reattached. But they reattached it a little crooked. So. Yeah. So listen, the hands, I mean, like it's my grandmother was always embarrassed of her very arthritic, you know, riddled hands and also with the crooked sewn back on finger. And Grammy, we're going the way. We're going the way.
Going the way.
Van Poplin hands.
I mean, this is inspiring me because I think this should be the year that I finally look into like what it would cost to get my hands insured as a practitioner, you know, of skincare. Oh. Like my hands are my moneymakers. And if something happens, like I'm fucked.
Yep.
You know,
I know J-Lo insurance her ass, right?
Yeah. I get to my
insured.
Hands. Unless I can learn how to get facials with my feet. You know what I mean? And
I'd show up for that.
Right. It's so LA. This is the year, baby. This is my foot facial year. It's going to happen.
Gross, but awesome. Awesome, but gross.
All right. We'll do it. Let's jump into our first headline, huh? Rick, why don't you kick it off?
Oh, absolutely. And I would like to put it out there. I definitely got COVID. catering a holiday party on the 22nd. So y'all, I went down fighting Sidework podcast style. I was back in the shit, definitely passing some apps and clearing drink. And it, I was just like, I was working that gig and I was like, it's, I'm going down. There's no way. I was like, I am absolutely getting COVID from this event. And I did. Anyways. All right. So let us know if this is happening where you work or if this is a requirement in your place of business. But this Eater article basically says people are noticing this really aggressive and annoying trend that's been taking place possibly over the last 5 years. It's been building where instead of walking into a place and someone saying, welcome, the new terminology are all of these young people saying, welcome in. And it's driving people up a fucking wall. And so they're trying to figure out, like, when did this sort of like cultural shift to like, welcome on in, welcome in, you know?
Welcome in, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So they're looking back too, like, you know, and like basically they think it is prevalent in a corporate guidebook of some sort, where if you are in a more corporate trained restaurant.
Yeah, that- it kind of sounds like what you'd say at the Cheesecake Factory, what you would say at like, yeah, like a very specific, you know, catchy thing for one restaurant chain to latch on to. But yeah.
Yeah, I know. And it's, to me, like, it's really funny. I'm like, I guess I wouldn't personally notice it. And I'm like, I'm sure I say that to people too, because like, you know, I think anytime I've said like welcome in as a host or welcoming someone into a restaurant, like especially if it's like I'm thinking of like rainy, snowy days, like not only am I like, oh, come on in, welcome in, like come in from the cold or whatever. But I'm like, who are these people out there who are like nitpicking and losing their mind? They're like, since when did they add the in to welcome? I demand answers.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, this article is saying that it might be more of a Southern expression. You know, that has been used and just kind of lurked its way into the restaurant industry across the country. But yeah, I think welcome in, to me, it sounds odd to me just saying it. How about you?
I think when I'm really on top of my game, I think welcome is a full sentence.
I think I'm like, hey, guys, welcome. Hi. Welcome.
Yeah.
How are you?
Welcome.
Like, welcome. Just a welcome. How? Yeah. Just I like a welcome, you know.
Anyways. Yeah, the eater, you know, had to make a point to say, is this a bad trend and should it stop? And, you know, because like at the end of every calendar year, there's usually the word or the phrase of the year, then other words that they decide they want to retire. And so I feel like this is a kind of picky point that I'm like, I don't know. I don't think it's that pervasive here in LA. You're lucky if anyone says shit to you when you walk in. Anyways.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I feel like places I go, people say hi, but that's just
of course.
You know, I certainly, yeah, it is just me. But weird. I feel like it's going to be like one of those things where like I don't hear it. And now that I know, I'm going to hear it everywhere I go.
Now that our brain has been turned on to it. Yep. I'm just going to hear it in my dreams, man.
Welcome.
So this is so fun. Basically, I just discovered like this hilarious TikTok clip of this guy named Connor Kearney, who is basically a young American who has traveled to Ireland, might be living there for a little bit with his girlfriend.
It sounds like with a name like that, he's going back to his homeland a little bit there, huh?
Yeah. I'll tell you what. Connor Kearney basically kind of blew up TikTok because he learned that at petrol stations, aka gas stations, because clearly he's never experienced this in America, but in an Irish petrol station, they have a kick-ass deli counter where you can get all sorts of delights. And I'm also like, Connor, it's also called gas station barbecue all through Texas.
Yeah,
it's called fucking get a warm and a hot spam masubi in Hawaii your gas station.
I know. Like, it's adorable. Connor's adorable. It's adorable right now. Yeah.
So he thinks he discovered gas station food, but I do enjoy so much that he's flipping out over Irish food, and it sounds kind of awful.
His big choice is like an egg a tiki chicken like egg sandwich, right? On a baguette, kind of. It's like a combination. Yeah. I mean, good for him for thinking chef's kiss over this and thinking it's blowing his mind. Like, I do think it's great because, you know, we talked about gas station food on this podcast so many times.
Yes.
Like, it is not to be slept on. It is where it's at. Like, even like the petrol stations in Italy, when you're just on the road and you pull over and you get the most fucking delicious espresso and little bites to eat there. You know what I mean? Like, Japan is like fully, there's 7-Elevens, which I'm going to Japan in 2025. And I'm so excited to go to the 7-Elevens because they're just like stacked with like fresh made goodness all the time. So this is something that might be new to Connor and good for him for blowing it up. But like, how adorable.
How adorable. But, you know, and I guess I would on, you know, as devil's advocate would just say that, like, depending regionally where you live, right? It's like, I think of where I grew up. It's like, okay,
oh, yeah.
Rochester, Michigan,
totally.
The gas stations are, you're going to get your Cheetos,
yeah.
Your Slim Jim.
It's going to be like a hot dog on a rotating heater that's shriveled up and weird, you know? It's going to be like, yeah, it's not that great.
And I get that, but it breaks my heart that he had to go all the way to Ireland to learn that gas stations, depending where you live, are treasure troves of like having kick-ass little fucking hidden gem food counters. But everyone's really mad too because his girlfriend is like, she's like, I'm eating a fully loaded cup and it has a biscuit in it with some crispy french fries. And everyone's like, that's a scone, you bitch.
Ah! Oh, speaking of fully loaded cups, holy shit. I was at IKEA the other day. I got a new rug and I didn't realize in the cafeteria there they have a Swedish meatball sundae. They call it a sundae. And so it's like a big scoop of mashed potatoes with like three
okay.
Swedish meatballs and then gravy and a little bit of lingonberry jam. But it's like the perfect little portion of it. And it's
a
like
a perfect bite, as we say.
It's kind of yes. Like, you know, yeah. It's like a three little, you know, you, like you could share it. You could do it on your own. But it's like a cute little like savory sundae that like IKEA makes. And I thought it was amazing.
You know, makes me sad that I'll never taste it because I think I'm at a point in my life where I vowed to never set foot in that store again and I'm okay with it. And I'm not down on anybody who's
no,
going.
No,
I just,
it's
I'm
totally,
like,
I get it. Honestly,
never again. Never
the
again.
The only reason I ever really go is because I love their Christmas decorations. Their wrapping paper is so cute.
Oh,
and I did,
okay.
And I happened to just score this like amazing new rug. But 9 times out of 10, I don't get anything accomplished that I need to in that store. You know,
it's like don't get me going about
like if
fast,
you want to get
cheap furniture,
yeah. Like if you want to get your steps in, go. You know what I mean? If you need like a basket, maybe. You know what I mean? Think, if you just want to go have fun and like cackle at the names of all the items that they have on display, great. You know. But yeah, IKEA is a lot. But ew. All right. Well, let's jump into this next headline. I'll take this one. Please.
Oh my God. This is, and this makes me go like back the other way of being like, and this should not happen, but go on.
Yeah. So this is from a Fox News 4 headline. So this is Walmart is bringing poke bowls to the masses. Holy shit. By adding restaurants inside locations nationwide. Now, I did think, and I was correct. I was like, why are they doing poke bowls? This has to be a Hawaiian thing. And like, sure as shit, it's a Hawaiian thing. So there's a partnership with a franchise restaurant called Uncle Sharky that has Hawaiian roots, obviously, serving poke bowls, boba teas, and dole soft serve. So, you know, I just think when we go to Walmart, we just don't think of raw fish bowls. And I think that's what makes it so so wild. But I do think it's kind of fun that poke has gone this far, the trickle down has gone this far, and that Walmart is now offering them up. And look, you know, they're healthy, they're better. I think when I think of Walmart, I don't think healthy options. So maybe this is a good thing, Brooke, huh?
When I think Walmart in general, I don't think of the average consumer being cool with raw fish. Mm-hmm. Like I mean, my family, okay, right? And my family has some semi-adventurous eaters. We've been around, we've traveled a lot, but they're still missing, like they still don't get down with sushi.
Mm-hmm.
It's very confusing to them. So then I was home a couple holidays ago, and I'm not going to get, all right, my aunts were like, we're doing a poke bowl. Like, we're going to make your own poke poke bowl, like
a little, like, okay, like a bar, like as in like a potato bar, but poke.
But then imagine your Midwestern aunts who've never had it before. I don't even know how to explain to you how bad these were. And it was cooked shrimp and other weird, like, I'm just saying, like, it was so gross. It had no flavor. It was a really weird experience. And, but then everything was cooked. So they missed the whole point of, you know, you're supposed to get high quality raw fish and so on. And I just, for me, it's like when someone's going to buy their 24 pack of toilet paper, I don't see them sitting down and getting down with some yellowfin raw ahi tuna.
Sure, man. I get it. You know, it's interesting though, because if like Costco is serving poke balls, people will probably be flipping their shit. It's an interesting turn of, you know, but like,
but Costco has a little more of that, like, people are crazy for a Costco. It's culty, you know?
I, you know, I've gone into the Walmart here in Burbank because I had to get a spray paint, that the only shade I wanted. They were the only person that carried the shade I wanted. And then I was there and I was like, I'm going to lurk around and look at all the things. And over in the cooking area, they had, I shit you not, prepackaged bacon grease for cooking. It was like already ready to go.
Okay.
Wow. I was like, damn, Walmart, you don't fuck around. They don't give a fuck. You know, I've never seen that anywhere else in my whole life. I didn't purchase it, but I did take a photo of it and immediately sent it to my sister with it.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You know what I like here too is Uncle Sharky, as they go on to say, is, you know, bringing their restaurant collab to a few Walmart locations. So like you said, that they're going to serve the poke and the Dole Whip and whatever, as well as, and this is very vague, exclusive menu items designed specifically for Walmart customers.
Right.
What do you think that is?
I have no idea, but they said that there'll be one here in LA, or it'll be in Burbank specifically.
Of course, but it'll be in Burbank.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting here going, like, designed for Walmart. Well, you already missed the mark by deciding to serve them pokey. Like, so I don't know. And then it's like, and then it'll be a bologna sandwich with mustard, you know?
I mean, yeah, maybe there'll be some fun spam situations. You know, I typically will only eat spam when in Hawaii, but I have known I can house a musubi here stateside, you know?
Fuck yeah. There's a great, the ramen spots here in LA, if they do that sort of fusion into the Hawaiian realm, which a few of the.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ramen places do. They make great spam musubi, and I always order them up. They're so delightful. Like I said, I sent Sean off to work one morning with a little heated up spam musubi, and he had to leave like 6 a.m. and had his like hot little breakfast wrapped up.
Oh my God.
It's so great.
So good.
Anyways, well, talking about other atrocities, this is a fun headline from CNN Travel. Basically, there is a renowned chef named Gino Sorbillo, and he owns a pizza spot called Pizza Maestro. But what he's done is open a spot in Naples in Italy and has basically tried to desecrate the Italian way of life by introducing pineapple on pizza. And it has gone poorly, but also surprisingly well. Let's discuss.
What's your take on pineapple on pizza there, Brooke?
So when I do it here, right, usually, and we'll get into the twist on his, because I really like his, you know, sneaky twist on the pineapple pizza. But okay, here stateside, it's a red sauce. And if someone's going to do that, I usually need it to be pepperoni and pineapple, mm-hmm. and then I need either jalapeno or banana pepper
to balance it out. Completely. Yeah. Totally. And I, for the longest time, I didn't do the pepperoni pineapple combo. And one day I did, and I was like, this is what I've been missing. It was always like spicy pepper pineapple. But I am pro pineapple on pizza is what I would say.
Okay, yeah. I am not ham and pineapple. I think that's awful.
Bacon and pineapple, though. Game changer. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But I mean, I think you're either very much for, or it's not, I think people are just like, yeah, sure. Or people are like, so fucking against it. Like, you know, they're just like, how dare you? It's really ridiculous. And so I think that what this chef is doing, it's not that far out of reach. I think there's been experimentation with different toppings on pizzas. Yes, of course, Naples is where it's the purest form. It's the birthplace of pizza. You know, you don't want to mix with like original, but it sounds like what he's doing sounds absolutely delightful. First of all, it only costs €7. Food is so cheap in Italy.
It's amazing.
Just in Europe, and it's the best, and it makes me so mad. So it's basically a pizza bianca, right? So there's no tomato layer, and then it's sprinkled with no fewer than 3 types of cheese, and the pineapple is cooked twice, so it feels it's like it got a caramelized kind of a flavor to it.
Oh, that's sexy.
Oh my God, it sounds amazing. And what is like, you know, the profile, it's like, different, you know, obviously, but as far as taste and profile and the acid it's providing and the sweetness, how is it different than doing like a balsamic drizzle? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like an
aged
balsamic drizzle on a pie. And I don't know if that's a huge thing on, I mean, it has to be a specialty pie, I'm sure, but it's giving the same feels.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everyone's kind of, you know, we've gone the way of either the balsamic drizzle or there's like the hot honey on top of prosciutto, which is really popular everywhere. And hot honey on pizza, you know, sometimes your brain's going, I don't know about this. And then you try it and you're like, I'm glad I'm adventurous.
It's rounding out all the flavors in your mouth. I had to make I made a huge vat of veggie chili the other day. And you know, sometimes the smoked peppers, the dried peppers can make everything taste quite bitter, you know, and so I rounded it out with some heat and some maple syrup and some acid. And that's what this is doing. This is, and then it like hits all the notes on your palate and the balance is beautiful.
I really like that because some people will also soften the flavors in chili by adding just a dash of cinnamon. Mm-hmm. That can be a secret ingredient, like a warming spice that neutralizes things. I always put a splash of kind of sweet and tangy barbecue sauce in my chili, which is also a quick and easy shortcut just to round out all the spice and the bitterness. But this chef Sorbillo, basically he's like, I'm a third generation, you know, pizza maker. And I love that he's like, I want to fight food prejudice, even here, like in the birthplace of, you know, staunch Italian and pizza lovers and you know, because obviously locals are like, this is heresy, don't fucking do it. And it's almost like he is the way you like sneak a pill for a dog into a beautiful piece of cheese, the way he has disguised it by like caramelizing and doing like the really luscious cheese and turning it into something to be like, here, try this first and then I'll tell you what it is, sort of thing. He's turning people to the way of pineapple. Granted, other people are having complete meltdowns. And when they hear the word pineapple, they're acting like he's trying to poison them, which is hilarious.
Right. I mean, the next thing is like, look, if you come up with a fancy ranch sauce to dip it in, let me know.
I mean, to me, I think bringing ranch sauce to Italy is more heresy than trying to involve a fruit.
Absolutely.
pizza.
All right. Well, let's do this very last one, huh?
Yeah.
This one is also really great. So this is from Business Insider. So a London restaurant pulled spaghetti carbonara from its menu, claiming that the diners complained too much that it didn't contain cream and sometimes even asked to add chicken. Okay, so here's the thing.
Come on, people.
A lot of you out there are probably already giggling and probably already know that carbonara does not have cream in it.
No.
At all. So the dish is uses egg yolks, right, to make that creaminess. Pecorino cheese, again, to make the creaminess. Black pepper. Guanciale.
Some lardo, or maybe just
lardons,
plain old bacon.
A little bit of like bacon. And that's it. There's no cream. That is what makes it, you know. And if you ask to add cream and you ask to add chicken, Brooke, what does it sound like they actually want to eat instead of spaghetti carbonara?
Like a fettuccine Alfredo.
Yeah.
Right. So a lot of people, and to me, because I'm like, I've seen like carbonara is almost like, it's like breakfast pasta.
Totally.
I've seen it on brunch menus because
it's a beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
And that's a traditional Roman dish. That's a Roman dish. It's like matriciana. Arrabbiata, and then you got there. Wait, amatriciana, carbonara, and cacio e pepe. Sorry, those are the big three. Those are the big three for Roman pasta dishes. So the restaurant is explaining this, you know, and says, look, this is what we do. We don't really add any substitutions, but some of you have asked us to add cream, mushrooms, chicken, or other ingredients to our carbonara. Some said it was too salty. Some thought it wasn't creamy enough. Reviews said it was really salty, not saucy enough. Others called it a disgrace, you know?
Basically, it's this hot topic every single time the servers, clock in for a shift at the Italian restaurant. Mm-hmm. This is the most problematic dish that happens every night. Someone sends it back, tries to add things, and then the reviews on Yelp start pouring in, being like, where then it's even a hotly debated topic of people saying, I know that you're a real Italian restaurant because your carbonara is authentic. And then for every nice one, there'll be someone who replies being like, worst carbonara ever, with someone who doesn't know what carbonara actually is. And so because it is just this fucking hot potato of a dish, they
people
were like,
they're like, you know what? Yank it. 86 it.
Yank it.
We
86
done.
It. We're so tired of talking about this.
Yeah.
That would drive me up a fucking wall, Andre.
Oh, my God. I would just be like, again, with the carbonara. So this is, again, this is Bottega Prelibado. It's in Shoreditch is where it
is. I've been in Shoreditch is great.
In London.
Very hip.
So I just think it's hilarious, the huge controversy surrounding it. And it should, you know, if you can't discern, I feel like carbonara is salty as fuck, but it's supposed to be. Again, like, you know, you get that like salty meat and it's like so heavy and like hearty and thick that I think this is a hilarious story. Everybody calm down.
Oh, God.
But again, like, you know, I do kind of like this to be like, you know what? Why don't we just like we'll just take the high road and just eliminate it so you guys can't complain anymore. If you're not going to like get down with the authentic, beautiful dish we're going to present to you, you don't even get the opportunity to love it or hate it.
I'm into it. You know, and maybe it could be a secret menu item for people who fucking know. If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, that wraps up for headlines, you know, and we thought we would kind of end today, you know, by talking about some fun resolutions, you know, maybe back and forth that are maybe resolutions that we will and wish toward restaurants in the year of 2024.
I personally have no resolutions like usual, so mine are all aimed at the restaurant industry. I'll go ahead and these are like microaggressions and critiques almost more than they are resolutions on my end. I have some feelings about the tableside Bluetooth check dispensing swipey machine that gets worn like a purse. I think you know, for us, we had years of QR code fatigue and had a lot of feelings about not being able to touch menus. And while that's mostly back to normal, now here we are with the weird end of service situation where someone just stands there and prints out a check and rips them off and hands them to you all. And you sit there and I'm just like, I like the... There's still something sexy about dropping the check, mm-hmm. opening up the, you know, the little private booklet that has it in there and looking it over. There is, once again, performance anxiety the mm-hmm. minute they rip it out and they're like, and what kind of tip do you want to add and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, oh, God, I don't like it.
I agree. I do. I do like the whole, like, whenever you're ready, you know, kind of like slide mm-hmm. it on over. That's great. I'm going to go with like more fun bathrooms. As a Russian, I love a fun bathroom in a restaurant. I got to say, I find myself in a fun bathroom. It's almost like if, oh, I have to pee, maybe you're having a weird interaction, a weird, you know, date, a weird, like a family member or whatever. But to have like a beautiful, lovely bathroom, just to be like, oh, I have like my eyes, like looking at so many lovely things, like the tile work, or maybe like the music is different in there, or like the fixtures for the water fixtures, you know, are nice. But like, I just, or you know what I love is like a completely enclosed, like private stall too, you know?
Sure. Inside so, the private bathroom.
Yeah. That's what I wish for restaurants. It's more fun bathrooms.
It's part of the experience, and you're missing an opportunity for the customer to have another experience. And you want it to be a good one, not mm-hmm. a scary, bad mm-hmm. one. Mm-hmm. We all know that bathroom. We can all think of that bathroom mm-hmm. at that restaurant. Mm-hmm. All right. So another gripe, and I know that with, you know, labor cost up and food cost up and the pandemic crushing, you know, the restaurant industry. But my gripe is like, there's nowhere to go on Monday anymore.
Yeah.
And
I
that
have
is
like a running list of actual go-tos for Mondays and Tuesdays now.
That's amazing. You know what? We should approach Eater and try and do a little thing. But so then I'm also saying, here's an opportunity. Call me crazy. Since I think almost 40 TGI Friday locations just closed down regionally, a bunch all on the East Coast.
You know, TGIMs? Somebody,
no, I think just a restaurant just called Mondays. Yep. And they just do Mondays. You know, maybe they stay in a restaurant that closes down and it's a new staff with a new menu, something crazy. I know
there's always
totally
a fish
insane.
Special at Mondays.
At Mondays, baby. But I'm 100% here for a restaurant only open one night a week called Mondays, and it's the most fun you've ever had.
That's fantastic. I love that. Okay, I'm gonna go with soundproof before you blast the music, baby. Like okay. I love a vibe. I love a good music. But what I hate is when you can't hear someone and you're like right next to them. You can't hear who you're talking to. You can't hear your server. It's just, you know, again, I love a vibe. But it's really nice when these new build outs, and I know it's hard in older buildings, but it's like, I just think it's just like, think about sound absorption before you, you know, do a table layout, before anything else. You know, Dunsmore, which is here in mm-hmm. Glassell Park, very close to you. If you look up at the ceiling, it's all like acoustically modified, and I could hear the music, I could hear my server, I could hear Brian. I just thought it was beautiful. So I will just be like, you know, I feel like sometimes it's kind of an afterthought and it's just like one big echo chamber. So that's my resolution and my hope, you know, another one for restaurants this year.
I really like that. Mm-hmm. I like that too. This is a simple one. More fun matchbooks.
Snap,
right?
Snap, 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 snap. Who doesn't
that.
Love a little piece of nostalgia to take home with you? A little gold inlay, huh?
Just something, you know, do you like the book, or are you more of a sliding box sort of restaurant? When you're thinking about that, the fun font, it can either be the font of your menu or the, you know, the name of your restaurant. Like we love the Bub and Grandma's little mm-hmm. matchbook. Mm-hmm. But in general, like it is really the little gift that keeps giving. I always look at it and it like it puts brand recognition in my head every time I look at your little matchbook, and it's just so fun. I'm never a hog. I never take more than one.
No.
But I appreciate it so much. And again, like a well thought out bathroom in a restaurant, a matchbook on the way out is another part of the service and experience of a customer.
Completely.
Very pleasing.
And then when you see them later and you like see them wherever you set them or you forgot you had them and you find them, you think very fondly on your experience that you had there, right?
You do.
More inclined to go back. So good. Okay, so my last resolution, and I just really feel like this has like fallen by the wayside for me. Just more cherry picking of like busing tables in the middle of service. Like I have been to so many places lately where it's just like our dishes just sit there and sit there and sit there and sit there and like nobody's coming to bus. Like it's just, it's, I don't know what it is, but like, you know, bless everybody's hearts for being understaffed and all that. But I, mm-hmm. if I just like, if you're at the table, you should like full hands in, full hands out. That's what I was taught, you know, like always be trying to like clear and do something.
Absolutely. And then especially like, you know, like so much of catering after, you know, you're done with the service part, then the rest of the job is getting everyone's shit, you know, bust. And they're, you know, there's no shame in cherry pick. Like it's literally you're being paid to cherry pick. And it's, you shouldn't have like disgusting plates with someone's napkin smashed into the cheese they didn't eat and like just sitting there. It's horrible. And let's all do better.
Yeah.
And
we shouldn't have to stack our shit and push it forward. And, but you know, whatever, that's just me and like how I used to always make sure my tables were clean in an OCD way, but that's me. But those are resolutions and those are headlines. And that's our first episode of 2024, Brooke.
I think we did good with our little COVID brains.
I think so too. Well, that would, we're going to have to wrap her up and we'll see you guys next week. And Brooke, you know that what we say at the end of every episode.
Godspeed. And good tips, everybody.
Good tips. See you later.
Happy 2024.
Bye.